Welcome one and all to another episode of The Damage Report here on a blessed Friday. I'm John Derola, joined by the one and the only Brett Ehrlich.
To be honest, John, this morning I thought about shaving all my face off to just really grind your gears. And yeah. I pitched the idea to my wife and she's like, do you have anything to do this weekend? Because if you shave, it's not me.
So you considered all the way down to the skin?
So I was like, I'll go down to the skin.
It's much shorter than I'm used to on you.
Yeah, I was like, I'll use the shortest attachment and see if I start looking like I should be if I start looking like Matt Taibbi. And I stopped. Let's just be honest, I stopped.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you definitely look young and fresh faced. I haven't gone that far, but I'm gonna try. I'm gonna experiment. Maybe when I take my trip to New York, I'm only gonna see my mom. Like, she doesn't need to see me in a beard. I don't know. Maybe I'll do it then. Anyway, what was grinding my gears was we were trying to identify this particular Woody Allen movie before we went live. And I opened up a list of the top 25 movies or whatever. And it took long enough to load that once you started talking, some embedded video was screaming at me. And I was like, am I going insane? What is
this? And just to fill in all the blanks, John was like, one of my role models in life is Woody Allen. And despite his films, which I'm not really that into, his lifestyle is really what jibes.
Yeah, I didn't say either of those things. I said that I have seen like three of his movies in my life. Anyway, stop trying to get me in trouble. We're gonna do that ourselves in our commentary on the news, of which there is much and interesting. Thursday Night Massacre happened last night. I was live participating in that. We'll be talking about that in just a little bit. Yesterday on the show, we made fun of Donald Trump for his digital trading cards, and that was fun. But maybe even more fun is gonna be the right making fun of Donald Trump for it. So we're gonna engage in that. We're gonna talk about smears against Katie Porter, a little bit of justice in a particularly egregious incident of police brutality, or at least a step along the way. Madison Cawthorn's developing legal trouble. And of course, we'll be closing out the aftermath with our garbage people of the week. You can join Trashy here, equipped for winter conditions. And I got a good one. It's someone who doesn't often make it into the garbage can for reasons that are largely structural around the show. But anyway, you'll see what I mean in a little bit. All that said, please hit the like button, share the stream as we jump into it. And if you want to send us any comments, tweets, or super chats, we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, Brett, are you ready to start the show?
As Nike always said, just play your best.
Have it your way. Okay, with that, okay, we're gonna talk about the news now. Last night in real time, I experienced what looked like Elon Musk doing what we knew Elon Musk was going to do, as journalist after journalist began to have their accounts permanently suspended on Twitter. And there's a long list of people. We're not gonna be able to include all of the different organizations and media outlets, but some of the high profile, especially mainstream media journalists who were suspended include Donny O'Sullivan of CNN, Drew Harwell of the Washington Post, Aaron Rupar, an independent journalist who produces a measurable percentage of all of the video clips used in news commentary. Keith Olbermann himself, Tony Webster, Ryan Mack of the New York Times, and others as well. Nearly all of them, of course, have in their roles as journalists, or especially tech journalists, been reporting on Twitter and Elon Musk, and generally writing critically about him in the days leading up to their apparently permanent suspensions as of that time. Now, everyone was, I think, rightfully freaking out, wondering, is this a precedent that's been being set? Where will this stop? Will Ken Klippenstein be banned from Twitter? As of now, that has not happened. And Elon Musk took a while to respond, but finally he landed on, he would call it an explanation. I'm gonna say a cover story, because it doesn't actually explain what he's doing, but it will be just enough to give his acolytes and cultists some sort of excuse to agree with him. He said, same doxing rules apply to journalists as to everyone else, because of course he doesn't believe literal longstanding journalists at places like CNN, the Washington Post, New York Times to be real journalists. That's just Matt Taibbi and Barry Weiss or something, I don't know. Anyway, what he's referring to there is one of a couple different things. Either these journalists had posted a link on another site to where the plane tracker that he previously banned could be viewed, or talked about that story, or talked about another story involving someone following his kids or something like that. And he seemed to land on, well, no one can say that I'm wrong if I imply that me or my family members might be killed as a result of basic reporting on publicly available data that all these reporters are doing. But it's actually an even worse excuse than it might seem, because most of those who are banned hadn't even done those things. They really had just spoken critically about Elon Musk. There was no explicit mention of those things on multiple accounts. And the Washington Post acknowledges that. They looked into it. There was no evidence that a lot of those reporters were actually doing that. So he doubled down, saying, they posted my exact real-time location, basically assassination coordinates, in obvious direct violation of Twitter terms of service. So first of all, there's no coordinates in literally any of this. And the idea that acknowledging the city that a billionaire is in, that's all the jet thing does, is acknowledge an entire city that this billionaire is in, is calling for his assassination, I think we can all agree is absolute madness. And we're gonna have a lot to say about this. First though, in response to that particular insane comment about assassination coordinates, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says, you're a public figure, an extremely controversial and powerful one. I get feeling unsafe, but descending into abuse of power and erratically banning journalists only increases the intensity around you. Take a beat and lay off the proto-fascism, maybe try putting down your phone. To which he says, you first, LOL. Great. Anyway, Brett, what do you think?
One of my favorite tweets about this is someone saying like, good, so Elon Musk can now ban Ticketmaster for disclosing the city that Taylor Swift will be in for her concert.
Yep.
Like, go get mad at the FAA for having to disclose the location of planes or fly commercial. You're not gonna do that. But all of these are just yet another bit of evidence to the argument that a lot of us are making, which is Elon Musk did not buy Twitter to turn it into some bastion of free speech and public square discourse. He did it so that he could use it however he personally wanted to. And I'm fine with all the people that criticize Jack Dorsey for Twitter under Jack Dorsey, which absolutely did ban Donald Trump from Twitter. You can criticize it based on that. But you also now need to do what, I hate to say it, even James Elizabeth Dorr said, you need to criticize what he's criticizing Musk for, saying you got to criticize both kinds of bans. You have to criticize. If you're criticizing Jack Dorsey for banning people for what seem like arbitrary reasons to you based on personal bias, not fairness or justice, you have to criticize Elon Musk for doing the exact same thing.
We're gonna get into that more a little bit later on, because I definitely have thoughts about that I think I've been very clear about. But we'll return to that in a bit. I want to talk first about his cover, about the excuse that this is about. You can't post information that might, in theory, lead to a person buying a Stinger missile launcher and taking down a private jet. Right. When, by the way, Elon Musk has been very clear that he doesn't believe things like Charlie Kirk and libs of TikTok elevating individual second grade teachers and then sending their band of people to destroy their lives and send them death threats. That isn't a personal threat, but acknowledging the city that the richest man in the world is in is a personal threat. They're demonstrating, by the way, the right, because they all agree with his argument here. They all accept, oh no, totally. Posting that information that even Elon Musk said he wouldn't ban a person for, it was not a threat at that point. Now, it's such an obvious threat that instantaneously everyone needs to be banned. They get that in theory, there's a risk to people that can come about as a result of advocacy on Twitter. But it's not a general principle that they suddenly understand. They're not going to call for people who call for violence against individuals or politicians to be banned. There's no general principles here. They selectively like Elon Musk and they agree with whatever he does. So let's be clear about that.
Yeah, that's, and also in terms of we're, you know, trying to apples this, a second grade teacher, you say what city they're in, you say what school they're at. That's it. Like, people can do the exact same amount of personal investigative work to find out where that person is. You can do all of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's just not fair. And is, and more evidence to that effect is that this guy said explicitly previously he would not ban the person who is tracking his jet, the individual who's doing it. So that was a lie. And also, he banned Matt Bender permanently, it seems, from Bender's account. And Bender did not share in any way the location of Elon Musk. Neither did Donnie O'Sullivan, the guy who essentially his whole claim to fame as he goes to Trump things is like, is Trump good? And ask people questions, and he just does those fun, like Michael Schur, David Schuster field pieces. And even he didn't disclose the information. All he did was say there's no police report yet on this event that Elon Musk says happens. All of that.
And how that is a danger to Elon Musk, no one understands.
No, it's not a danger to Elon Musk's personal safety. It's a danger to his ego. He's upset. Maybe he did go through a traumatic experience, and that is affecting his policy making going forward, if you could call it that. But it's absolutely not policy. It's whim. It's whims.
That's all it is.
It's just whims.
The man,
and when you design, there's this whole like my approach to justice is essentially a Rawlsian approach to justice, where you just say, I want to design the rules from behind a veil of ignorance. This is the only way for justice to be fairness. You say, when I'm designing a society, I don't want to see how it affects me. I don't want to factor in where my position is now, or how I'll be born, who my parents will be, what stratus I'll be born into. You just design the rules based on what's fair, regardless of how it affects you. Obviously, you use empathy for everyone in that society to build those rules. Elon Musk isn't doing that. He's saying, oh, I'm gonna go into it saying the easiest, most politically expedient and audience building things I can say. And then once I have power over it, I'm gonna do whatever is good for me and hope that those people are still ride or dies.
Exactly, yeah, no, he wants you to believe that he's doing that thing behind the curtain, but he's not. And he has little incentive to, because his fans and supporters don't actually want that. They like the idea, they like the cred of supposedly having principles, but they don't actually want it in principle. But I want to turn now to a little bit more of the developments from last night. As the Thursday Night Massacre was developing, Elon Musk did what he normally does, do a little sham poll to supposedly lend support to whatever his whim is at that particular moment. So he had suspended a ton of journalists, lied about why he suspended them, and now needed to justify it because people were furious. So he put up a poll saying, unsuspend accounts who doxed my exact location in real time, which again, is that's not even what happened. So he's lying baked into the poll. And he lost that poll. Unsuspend them now actually got the plurality of the vote. Now, normally in the past, he's pretended that whatever wins in a poll is the will of the people and it shall not be ignored. This time he just said, sorry, too many options, we'll redo poll. That's how it's supposed to work. It's very stop the steal. Anyway, so he decided to do it with just two options. And once again, unsuspend them now won. Now, you'll notice he's not doing that because he doesn't actually care what the results of these polls are. And honestly, he shouldn't. They're probably full of bots. I think the reason he felt like he could win something like this is he gets to decide where the bots go. But, you know, to his humiliation, he actually failed. Now, supposedly, they're gonna face 7-day suspensions. He's since tweeted that, although that could change literally at any moment. But bear in mind, that is not at all what initially happened. They got notices with no extra information that there were permanent suspensions of their accounts. So there are no principles here. There's no mission statement. There is whim and whimsy. That's it. He decides on a given moment based on either who's yelling at him or who's praising him, what he's gonna do. And he tried to explain it in one other way. There was a Twitter Spaces conversation going on, in which, by the way, some of the people who were suspended could participate because the code base is in absolute chaos at Twitter. So it didn't even stop them from going into the spaces, even though they couldn't post on Twitter. But anyway, so he joined, Elon Musk joined that. He started saying that they're doxing me. Reporter, let's see, it's the Washington Post, Drew Harwell, who was actually suspended, pointed out how what had been done in some cases, but not all, was not what doxing was. After just 3 questions and an inability to answer literally any of these, Elon Musk fled from the Twitter Spaces, and then the Twitter Spaces shut down. Not in the normal way it shut down, it abruptly shut down in a way that people who participate in these say normally is not what happens. It appears that it was brute forced from Twitter. We don't have a guarantee of that, But it was super suspicious how the Twitter Spaces suddenly evaporated after he fled for his life. So anyway, he's doing a terrible job of managing the damage here. But that said, every single one of his fans is 100% behind him. They buy this. They don't see any inconsistency. They don't care. They love what he's doing.
Jimmy Dore's against it. Jimmy Dore's against the bans. And that's really where I look at it. And I looked at that and it was after a tweet about the double standard. I'm fine with that. I think there is a double standard when it comes to most things in the world. But you can't let that, if you're against double standards, you have to have a single standard. And you're being intellectually dishonest if you think it's cool for Elon to do this because the other team did. Even though that's not what the other team did. You don't have evidence in the way that we have so much evidence. And think about that. Like Elon Musk selectively, according to what I've learned by Jordan Yule's account of his interview with Matt Taibbi, like Elon Musk went to Matt Taibbi and said, hey, friend. And Barry Weiss and said, hey, friend, here's some documents, take them. Okay. And Matt Taibbi very friendlily went through and picked what he thought was important. And even then, it's not like a giant smoking gun moment. Elon Musk has utter control over what he himself has shared and does share. Him going in front of the Twitter Spaces or not going in front of the Twitter space. And then we have way more evidence that Elon Musk is acting inappropriately and against the like general free speech doctrine than any of his predecessors did. The only difference is those predecessors made $44 billion and Elon Musk lost $44 billion in this company, let alone the companies he runs that have suffered as a result of his takeover.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know what? Why don't we now launch? We're gonna get to the video in a second. Why don't we launch into this conversation about what the standard should be? As we've been talking about, in the wake of all of these journalists who committed the sin of being critical of Elon Musk, or acknowledging that he is a human that occupies space in a city from time to time, the right wing loves it. They love the bannings. I'm not gonna go through a bunch of examples of them agreeing with it or the regular people that are flooding my mentions. I'll just give you this from Charlie Kirk. He's doing his best, says, oh, so now you care about censorship and having your Twitter accounts banned? Because from his complete lack of ability to critically engage with any of this, it's the same thing. I mean, some people were banned, very few people on the right over the course of literally years, despite coups and all of that and hate speech and brigading and all of that. So that happened, that's a thing. And then in one very short period of time, many journalists were banned for supposedly violating things that they didn't actually do. And that's the same thing. And so if you are on the left or whatever, if you're a CNN viewer and you have a problem with that, then you're the exact same thing as a right winger who believe conspiracy theories about shadow banning or whatever. There are some issues with that. So first of all, as Brett said earlier on the show, it's not actually the same thing. Like if you're literally calling for violence versus someone who says, you know, like I don't even know what some of them are claimed to have done. I don't know what Matt is even claimed to. It's not the same thing. That is not actually the same. You should be able to acknowledge that. But much more importantly, I have said from the very beginning, it's a private company. None of this has anything to do with the First Amendment, okay? Very clearly, Twitter back in the day could do whatever it wanted. And I wanna be clear, Elon Musk can do whatever he wants, which is why you'll notice Charlie Kirk or whoever, no one is saying, oh, these people were banned and so Musk should be sent to prison. No one is saying that. What we're saying is your principles that you claimed to live by are a fiction. It's made up. You don't actually have those principles, okay? You do actually believe that whoever's in charge can ban people if they want to. You just disagree about why they should do the banning. My guidance has always been, if Twitter wants to pursue its goals of being a place that will actually make money, and I think a necessary part of that is producing a social media site that people actually want to engage with, certain types of suspensions and bannings are conducive to that. And it is not primarily just because I disagree with people or we have political differences or whatever. It is clear what makes a social media site a place that people want to be. Homophobia and racial slurs and misogyny and all of that in general are especially targeted at individuals is simply not conducive to that. Okay? The same cannot be said for the bannings that we're seeing right now. Disney is not going to refuse to advertise on Twitter because a journalist mentioned that Elon Musk is banning people. Okay? Those are simply not the same thing. I actually have a consistent standard, okay, that I've applied previous to him taking over and since. For them, it's opportunism. That's all. They didn't want to be suspended in the past, and I get it. They make tons of money off of social media, but they also wanted to continue to do and say the things that they knew would get them suspended. Now they want to be protected. They want to be boosted, in fact, algorithmically boosted by the new leadership, while people who dare to criticize Elon Musk or the right will be banned. This is just one day. God only knows what Elon Musk will be doing in a week or a month if there isn't sufficient pushback against what happened so far this week. Those are my thoughts, Brett, on the general principles. What do you think?
The only thing I'll add is Ben Shapiro also now needs to apologize, because Ben Shapiro said, listen, I know it's more whimsical, but it's more transparent than Jack Dorsey was when Elon Musk goes and he's out there. It's at least he's laying out the terms of service transparently. You might disagree with them, but at least they're consistent and they start and end with him. That's all out the window this week, as if it wasn't when Ben Shapiro originally said it. But because Elon Musk is absolutely contradicting his previous statements, or Elon Musk is absolutely contradicting his previous statements based on what personally affects him. This is not new for the right wing. They don't have the ability to empathize with other people until they go through something and then they wildly overreact. Mm-hmm. It's BS.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And look, I didn't look up what Ben, it's possible that Ben Shapiro could say that this was wrong. I don't know. He likes to occasionally differentiate himself from the others, and he should. They've produced like 30 clones of him. He kind of desperately needs to differentiate himself. But it's looking like we're not going to have that in this case. And again, by the way, the terms of service were clear before. They just didn't like what violated the terms of service, to be clear. And again, you can't just make up, he's making up rules and then banning people who don't violate them, which again is not the same thing. And also in terms of it being more transparent to actually ban people than to shadow ban them, I don't know why I need to remind people yet again, but Elon Musk has in the last month repeatedly said that he's going to be engaging in shadow banning, explicitly shadow banning people. So I don't understand why that isn't a bigger part of this conversation. In any event, I noticed also this morning, Ben Collins has been suspended from appearing on MSNBC and NBC News as a result of his commentary on this topic having to do with Elon Musk, when he is explicitly a reporter on the beat of misinformation and this fear, especially in social media. So CNN has said that they're going to be reevaluating their relationship with Twitter. On the other hand, NBC seems to be, I don't know, wanting to send signals to Elon Musk that they're going to play ball. It's certainly looking like that at this point.
I think it's insane. None of this makes any sense. I think a lot of people are doing the like, we'll wait and see situation. There was CBS said, we're gonna not engage in Twitter till we know what the hell's going on. And then they came back. I think it was CBS, one of the major network news. They're gonna come back. They have to come back. Just if you have embedded journalists with terrorist groups, you can also just have somebody doing your Twitter handle. You gotta monitor it. You gotta monitor it. You're a news organization. What's really terrifying is Elon Musk saying there's no difference between journalists and regular people on that session that he rage quit, which is like, I know it's not a war zone Twitter. It just feels like it sometimes, but like there's a reason people wear press on their shirts, because we need to know. Yeah. And if you treat them just like anybody else, well, then you consider them enemy combatants and you're gonna essentially assassinate them. It's just so transparent. It's just sad because you mentioned opportunism. This is the last thing I'll say. You mentioned opportunism. The people who are the main pundits on the right have goals. They do have values, but they'll never share their actual values with you. All they do is try to appeal to different sectors of society to get them on their side and then advocate for policies that completely contradict everything they incentivize them with and that will benefit those people that they lured in. People like Matt Taibbi said there's no comedy on the left because he just wants people to think he's funny when he's not.
Yeah. But I will say, to something we've been talking about earlier, this week has been a great demonstration of both the carrots and the sticks from the new regime. So if you do positive coverage of them, you can get tons of money. Like those two independent journalists are making absolute bank from the increase in their Twitter following and all that, being instantly translated into Substack subscribers and everything. Oh, and also they're literally never gonna be banned because they play ball with Elon Musk. That is what journalism is to him. Something that protects him, helps him, never criticizes him. You never know what's gonna come out of Pratt. Anyway, we've got more news, so buckle up for that. Before that though, I did wanna let you know, those of you who tune into the show, maybe just watch the clips, maybe you watch the live show. If you don't watch the live show, you're not seeing this. So I'm gonna assume you're watching the live show. Thank you for watching. We try to make it fun every day. We try to put together an entertaining and educational program. But I try to always be clear that just because like I might be the person that you see, or Brett might be a person that you see, we're not the only people that do this. We actually make up a very small share of everything that goes into producing the show. And in particular, we periodically have interns who contribute to the production, both pitching stories and then producing stories. And regrettably, while I would love to keep all the interns permanently, they leave and they go on to better things and bigger things and sometimes return, which is really exciting. And unfortunately, today we see the end of the tenure of an awesome intern, Carlos, who has been regularly participating multiple shows per week, suggesting stories, making sure that we see things that we wouldn't otherwise, and then producing stories, and in fact produced a block on the show today. So I just wanted to hail Carlos for your service. It's been much appreciated. I'm sure you're going on to amazing things after this.
Oh. And if you want to be an intern, go to tyt.com/careers to apply. Current and recent college
students. We'd love to have
students.
You. Love the shout outs I'm seeing in the chat now for Carlos as well. Okay, and by the way, when we get to Carlos's story today, I'll let you know about that. For now though, let's have a little bit of fun and jump into this.
Hello everyone, this is Donald Trump. Hopefully your favorite president of all time, better than Lincoln, better than Washington. These cards feature some of the really incredible.
Okay, I got it. I got it. I can't watch it again. Make it stop.
Steve Bannon, huge supporter of Donald Trump from time to time, would have been perfectly happy to have Donald Trump be dictator for life, has found his line. He can't take the NFTs. And honestly, I get it. I've never felt closer to Steve Bannon before. But anyway, Steve has more to say about how depressing he finds this big announcement in this.
This thing comes out and this is whatever. And they said yesterday is going to be a big announcement. Look, I thought the announcement could be people are coming to me. Is he going to announce for speaker? Is he going to do this? Are the things he's going to do? What's this huge announcement? Quite frankly, if they had teased that it was the 6-minute video on getting to the on free speech and getting to the destroying the ecosystem of lies and misrepresentations, that would have been huge. But we got this.
We got this. Make it stop. That's been the tagline for the Damage Report since its inception, actually. Brett, what do you think?
NFT stands for for Steve Bannon. Just like it's so good. This makes it me so happy. For me, the one thing I think to myself is Steve Bannon's full of it. He never truly ever once in the world believed that Donald Trump was a perfect vessel who in Trump's core believed in all of these fascist principles explicitly from a strategic and theological almost standpoint. He knew like Trump is who he thought he was. And Bannon was the guy who was like leading him down the path saying, here's where to channel it. Here's our next move. Isn't it a great move? Because Steve Bannon also, he gets how to orchestrate that kind of stuff. But now he has no control over Trump. Trump is losing, very importantly. And for the rest of us, we're just like, Trump is, they are who we thought they were. To quote a famous NFL coach who had a breakdown on in front of everybody. They are who we thought they were. Trump is and always has been a huckster. And he is a huckster to the extent that that his first major announcement, as he put it out there after running, is he's selling ridiculous photos of himself that you can't even own a printout of.
100%. And by the way, I will mention, there's now been some great, I don't know how they did this, but the images of him like standing in like a duster as a cowboy or an army outfit, they basically traced over images from clothing companies. Like someone found the exact image. It's a different color or whatever, but the exact duster. It's got the same ruffles, the same shading and everything. They just stole it and traced over it. It's not even like a pure algorithmic thing. They did this intentionally. It's just, man, it's a bad deal. And that honestly, dinner is going to suck if it ever happens.
I thought Trump was just going through and being like, what's this AI art? Someone AI art me. Put my face in the AI art and it pushed out these ones. And these were the ones that didn't look like Jabba.
Anyway, plenty of other Republicans not buying the NFT drop. The Hodge twins, who used to just be YouTubers who would stare at the screen blankly for like a long time before saying something vapid, now they've become major right-wing grifters, said whoever told Trump to do this should be fired, which they're not wrong. Also, by the way, way to give him a pass on his active and eager participation in this. For some reason, it doesn't reflect poorly on him, just whoever advised him. You've got a notorious white nationalist troll, Baked Alaska, who participated in the insurrection, says, wait, hold up. That major announcement we were all waiting for is literally Trump trading cards. Meanwhile, Kanye is preaching the Bible and defending J6 victims. This is why Trump can't win. So this is the thing that causes him to go for Kanye, I guess. By the way, he goes on to tweet, because he just got his account back 4 days ago, despite being an active insurrectionist, white nationalist, whatever, that's Twitter these days. I can't believe I'm going to jail for an NFT salesman. Yeah, there's a bit of whiplash on that, but yeah. I don't know why the like 50 cons before the NFT didn't get through to you, but I'm glad that finally the NFT thing did. And it's not just right wingers, even Joe Biden having a little bit of fun with this, tweeting, I had some major announcements in the last couple of weeks too. And then talks about things like easing inflation, the Respect for Marriage Act, returning Brittany Griner home, gas prices being low and all of that. So yeah, similar announcements. Kind of comparable substantively. Any final thoughts, Brett?
I just love it so much that Baked Alaska is mad at Donald Trump. And it is, it's just that they are who we thought they were. He has always been this person. He's always essentially sold some version of a grift as ridiculous as NFTs. I would say like before you were just giving him money and not getting anything in return. He wasn't doing anything but like lining his pockets with it. At least now you get like a GIF.
Oh, they're not even animated.
Yeah.
I'd pay $99 for an animation of him as a cowboy, but not for a still image. Come on. Anyway, apparently they did sell out. That's what some people are saying anyway.
So sure they are.
I guess we shouldn't be shocked by, I mean, who knows, honestly, but no, people still give him money. If you donate $200, just donating $200, why not buy the NFT, I guess? It's so pathetic. Anyway, why don't we move on to other news? Because the hour is unfortunately rapidly rolling past. The right wing has come for Katie Porter, and in the absence of a legitimate attack against her, they decided to just baselessly smear her as a supporter of pedophilia. Here's the form it came in. Ronnie Jackson, who used to be in charge of presidential health, now congressman, says Katie Porter just said that pedophilia isn't a crime. She said it's an identity. This is the embodiment of evil. The sad thing is that this woman isn't the only vile person pushing for pedophilia normalization. This is what progressives believe. But it wasn't just him. I don't even know if it was first him. This right-wing grifter was retweeted by libs of TikTok saying, Katie Porter says pedophilia isn't a crime, it's an identity. And that, look, legitimately, that's a shocking and scary claim, because I've supported her in so many areas. If she believes that pedophilia is just an identity, then that would cause me to really have to rethink my support for her and her whiteboards. But you'll be shocked to find out that's not at all what she actually said. What we're gonna do is prove it to you by showing not stripped out context-free video a few seconds at a time, but the full interaction that they're referencing in this clip.
I wanted to start with Ms. Robinson, if I could. Your organization recently released a report analyzing the 500 most viewed, most influential tweets that identified LGBTQ people as so-called groomers. The groomer narrative is an age-old lie to position LGBTQ plus people as a threat to kids. And it, what it does is deny them access to public spaces. It stokes fear and can even stoke violence. Ms. Robinson, according to its own hateful content policy, does Twitter allow posts calling LGBTQ people groomers?
No, I mean, Twitter, along with Facebook and many others, have community guidelines. It's about holding users accountable to those guidelines and acknowledging that when we use phrases and words like groomers and pedophiles to describe people, individuals in our communities that are mothers, that are fathers, that are teachers, that are doctors, it is dangerous. And it's got one purpose. It is to dehumanize us and make us feel like we are not a part of this American society. And it has real life consequences. So we are calling on social media companies to uphold their community standards. And we're also calling on any American that's seeing this play out to hold ourselves and our community members accountable. We wouldn't accept this in our families. We wouldn't accept this in our schools. There's no reason to accept it online.
So, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And it's not, you know, this allegation of groomer and pedophile. It is alleging that a person is criminal somehow and engaged in criminal acts merely because of their identity, their sexual orientation, their gender identity. So this is clearly prohibited under Twitter's content, yet you found hundreds of these posts on the platform.
Yeah, whether it was actually prohibited at any point, it obviously isn't now. But what you just saw there was the full context. There is no reasonable person who can look at that and say that she's saying, oh, actual pedophiles? No, that's an identity. That is not what she is talking about. That is not who the expert that they brought on to testify is talking about. They're saying baselessly calling people groomers and pedophiles simply because they are gay is not acceptable. That should be outside of the bounds of reason. But unfortunately, trying to be reasonable, trying to act with compassion gets twisted by these right-wing grifters into her being okay with pedophilia or whatever, whatever it takes to get people to hate her. Right, what do you think?
The party trick of the Republicans, the Republican Party trick, is to take a word that has a meaning, ignore that meaning, give it a new meaning, pretend that's the definition, and then just make ridiculous sentences that now make no sense if you knew the original meaning of the word. So they take things like trans or drag queen, and that just means someone of a certain identity or someone who does a certain performance. They then say that those words are the same as saying pedophile. They replace trans with the word pedophile, which is not accurate. For these folks that are saying like, you can't have your own pronouns, words have meaning, they're absolutely changing the meaning of words. And this, and they turn into dog whistles, or in this case, outright lies. Let me do the same thing with Dr. Ronny Jackson. Dr. Ronny Jackson is a doctor. The Michigan State gymnastics doctor was a child molester. He molested people. So now I'm gonna say, instead of Dr. Ronny Jackson, since there are child molesters within the doctor community, I'm gonna say child molester Ronny Jackson is a child molester who molests children. And he says that child molester is now some kind of protected, I should give him more reverence because that's his job title. He went to child molester school for many years. That's how the right wing is absolutely gaslighting and unmoored from reality. And the worst part is that becomes their language. Their language, their shorthand for their primal branding is these ridiculously bastardized definition of words that end up with these insane, indecipherable, unless you're on the inside, tweets from people like child molester Ronny Jackson.
100%. No, that's a great breakdown. Your example's insane, but we live in an insane world. Anyway, that's what they do. They do it with fake news. They do it with the big lie. They do that with insurrection. They do it with coup. You could come up with a million examples. With that said, we do have to take another break. We come back, maybe first steps towards justice in an incident of police brutality. We'll give you the details after this. Okay, everybody, we're gonna get serious for a little bit. We're gonna show you some video. It's gonna be a little bit hard, but let's jump into it. More than 3 years after the death of Ronald Green, in the custody of the Louisiana State Police, finally charges are being filed. And when I saw this update, I saw the name Ronald Green, and it instantly flooded back what that video was, how horrible the body cam footage of that incident was. And bear in mind, we're gonna show you a section of this. You understand the context. This resulted in the death eventually of Ronald Green. They hid this footage for 2 years while giving an alternate idea of what had led to this tragic death. So with that said, to understand the charges we're gonna talk about, here's the video. We have had to process a lot of truly terrible video. That one still stands out as one of the worst instances. To hear a person yelling, "I'm so scared, I'm so scared, I'm your brother, I'm so scared." Those cops who did that, beating him, tasing him, all of that, when he is just desperately trying to comply. I don't know if like any if you believe in the concept of evil, but it feels like that's what's there. That's what's driving those men. To hear someone telling you how terrified they are and for you to continue to brutalize them until they eventually die as a result of it is just truly evil. Now we have some charges. Took 3 years. The charges include a single count of negligent homicide for one of the five officers. Okay, two others were both charged with obstruction of justice. As we said, they lied about the incident. Initially saying they maintained a story for 2 years that he died from a car accident. He fled them, died in a car accident. They knew they dragged him out of that car and brutalized him, but they lied. But they knew that they were wearing body cams, but lied about it for 2 years. So the family and friends of Ronald Green had no idea what had actually happened. They had to wait 2 years to find out. Some officers have been placed on administrative leave. One of the officers, Master Trooper Corey York, was charged with the most serious offenses, including negligent homicide and 10 counts of malfeasance in office. We have a brief statement from Ronald Green's mother who says they need to be held accountable because if not, you're condoning the killing of Ronald Green. You're okay with my son being murdered if you just give him a slap on the wrist. So I've been saying throughout the show, this is potentially a step towards justice, but despite the fact that now there are charges and that the video is just so absolutely brutal, so heart-wrenching to listen to, that is no guarantee that these people will end up in prison. Brett, what do you think?
In these situations, the standard is that if you're a police officer, you have essentially qualified immunity from a lot of things because you're in the, it's a really difficult job, which I understand, it's very high stress, and that will, if you have that in mind as you're watching most videos, sometimes you'll say, okay, that was something that was within the realm of what I would do in that scenario. This does not seem to be one of those things. In these, this just seemed harsh for harshness sake. And then the other thing that I want to point out is the amount of time it takes for the semblance of justice to happen. And how long and drawn out the fight has to be, not only from the prosecutors, the grand jury, that process, but also from the family who is like, whose job is just to remind people that an injustice has been there in an environment where every incentive is to make something like this just go away. And it shouldn't be as rare when very obvious injustices end up with even the promise of just consequences. We have to take it to heart and remind us in those moments that sometimes the arc of history will bend toward justice or whatever. Yeah, that's what I have to say about that.
Man. Okay. We are going to talk about one more topic to close out this hour, a little bit lighter for everyone.
Shake it
other
out.
Than
everybody shake it out.
I know. It's just, it's so.
Yep.
I still remember the first time that we watched that. There's nothing you can say. There's no way to communicate to these people that they don't need to do the things that they're doing. There's nothing you can say to stop them because they want to do these things. Anyway, with that said, let's jump into our last topic of the hour. Madison Cawthorn is done as a congressman, but his legacy in Congress is not done with him. One of the lawsuits that came about as a result of him being in Congress has now resulted in him being sued by his own lawyers, mind you, for $193,000 in unpaid legal fees. Maybe Madison Cawthorn doesn't have the money. Maybe he doesn't have a crypto grift he can run to raise it. Maybe he just is following in the footsteps of Donald Trump and Elon Musk and is just not going to pay any of his bills anymore. I don't know. But I do know that the BOP law firm filed this lawsuit just about 2 weeks ago, saying that he failed to pay nearly $200,000 in a variety of legal fees and costs. They've accused the congressman thus of breaching his contract. And this has to do with their representation of him in a case that had to do with challenging his legitimacy as a candidate. People were trying to get him taken off of the ballot because of his participation in one of the speeches around the Stop the Steal movement. They say that the BOP law firm said that he failed to pay up in a lawsuit challenging his qualifications to seek re-election. Earlier this year, Cawthorn sued North Carolina to stop the state board of elections from considering removing the US representative's name from the ballot for re-election in the 11th congressional district of North Carolina. Of course, that ended up being moot in the end because he just outright lost a Republican primary. But he still has to pay. They did those services. Seems like a lot of money, but that's how the law works. Brett, what do you think?
I love this, where everyone in the story sucks farts, as the happy half hour segment intro goes. This is a sludge of a human being, Madison Cawthorn, locked in a legal fight with the sludge law firm that was like, yeah, we'll represent that guy. We'll take the job. I love it. They're not getting paid. He's not paying anyone. They're suing him. He's going to have to hire a lawyer for something that he's going to potentially lose because it's as cut and dry as you didn't pay us for services rendered. And he doesn't have the pockets deep enough to just forever litigate this into a settlement in a way that will benefit him or at least net him out zero financially.
Yeah. It's such an amazing fall. Like, he at that point was the youngest person ever elected to Congress, beating out AOC. He wouldn't now be. Maxwell Frost is younger, but that's just, and he was able to do that despite no qualifications. Like, he just became a member of Congress. He could have, if he had played his cards right, in 20 years, he could be the Republican nominee for president or whatever, maybe less, maybe 10 years. And instead, he gets embroiled in crypto scams. He throws wild accusations about sex parties, and already he's had a cool career and lost a cool career, and he's 27 or something. I don't even know.
I think it's tempting to say things like he threw wild accusations because he is trash. What's hilarious to me, what makes it like a richer broth, a deeper flavor profile, is that those probably did happen, and he probably was invited to those things. So a thing I would potentially do, coupled with a bunch of stuff I would never do. That makes it, John doesn't like these, but it's a deeper character than most people would expect out of a clear
nobody
villain.
Gets that inside cardboard joke, but deep anyway.
Actually, did.
God damn it. Yes, you are right. That is, I was wrong. The accusations are probably true. It's the second thing I got wrong today. But anyway, we'll see what happens with this lawsuit or him getting in trouble with the House Ethics Committee over crypto promotion or a separate Stock Act violation. This dude's been busy, just not with serving his constituents. Anyway, with that said, that's all the time we have for the first hour, but there's a lot more coming in the aftermath. Marjorie Taylor Greene loses her mind over a basic thing that a doctor says, and the garbage will be thrown away. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.